I do want to mention that Cameroon, there's two provinces that speak English. So as soon as we arrive on the field, we'll be able to begin ministering in English language. We'll be working in the northwest province that speaks English, and the southwest province also speaks English. The other eight provinces speak French, and so we'll be working on learning French while we're there, as well as several other languages. Cameroonian Pidgin is one of them, and the Bafut people have their own language, and so we'll be also trying to study that as well. So we have many things to try to do all at the same time. So pray for us. We do want to get started right away, but just pray that God would give us the real gift of tongues. That would be a huge blessing, you know, where we could speak in a foreign language and not having known it before. That would be wonderful, okay? I know God doesn't do that anymore, but pray that He would give us understanding, that we'd be able to learn the language quickly and be able to pick it up. I know my girls probably will. They're very smart, and I'm sure they'll pick it up much faster than I will, but I'll need God's grace to get through it, learning all the languages. So tonight, I want you to take your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at the verses that I actually mentioned in my video, Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. We're going to look at several verses before and even the verse after, just to get the context of the scripture there. But we're going to look at, you know, really, why do we send missionaries? I mean, why does somebody need to go to the foreign field and tell people about Jesus? Haven't they already heard? There's lots of reasons people could give. Well, tonight we're going to look at the biblical pattern for missions, but also how do you know whether you're called to be a missionary right here where you're at, or whether to go to the foreign field? And so tonight we're going to look at the main part of the text will be the four words, except they be sent. Someone has to send us. God calls us, but our church sends us. And we must be sent through the local church. It's biblical mandate, or it's a biblical pattern that was given through the Apostle Paul. And tonight, as we look at these verses of Scripture, I want you to open your heart and listen, but then also be receptive and ready to do whatever God would have you to do. Romans 10, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into the Scripture tonight. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. I thank You for the song tonight, the different songs that we heard and we sung. And Lord, I just thank You for speaking to my heart already in the music. And Lord, I just pray that You would help me, hide me behind the cross. May Your word be honored and glorified. May You be honored and glorified in everything that is done and said this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. A missions conference is a good thing to have throughout the year. Some people have them that lasts a whole month. Some of them are just a week long. Some are 3 days or whatever. But a lot of times it draws our focus into missionaries and what missionaries do and why we should give to missions. A missions conference just brings that all to light. It's really that the fact that missions is the heartbeat of God. And you can look in many different scriptures. Isaiah 45:22, the Bible says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" 2 Peter 3:9 also says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Through all of those passages, you can see that the heart of God, the heart of our Lord and Savior, is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that brings me to my first point. In our desire, in our own desire to go to the country of Cameroon, our desire is to see people saved. But that desire should not start when we get to the mission field. It actually started a long time ago. When I received Christ, I was only 5 years old. But at the age of 7, I had been a witness to 2 of my neighbor friends, and they came to know Christ. My dad was able to lead them to the Lord. But they came to our house, and I was witnessing to them and didn't know all the words to say, didn't know all the scriptures to give them, but I knew who would know, and my dad was able to take the scriptures and show them how to be saved. So even at the age of 7, I had a desire to see souls saved. And it lasted all the way through, even working up in ministry and doing all the different things. I was constantly looking for someone that I could tell the gospel to. Paul was the same way. Paul had a desire to see souls saved. And in order to be a missionary, in order to be someone who preaches the gospel, someone who goes out and tells others about Jesus Christ, you have to desire to see them come to the knowledge of truth. Now, the question for you is, do you have that desire? Now let me explain what that desire is through Scripture. Paul says in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul showed his deep concern, his desire, for the Jewish people to come into the knowledge of the truth. In Romans 9:1-3, he also said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul says, I wish that I was not saved so that they could be saved. Do you have that desire? Do you have a desire to witness to your neighbors, to tell them about their lost condition and where they'll spend eternity? Do we have that desire to tell others about Jesus Christ? Do we have a desire to see souls saved? Paul had a burning desire for salvation, for the salvation of the Jewish people. He was a Jew himself. He had grown up in Judaism. By his own testimony, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He understood the very heart of a typical Jew. He understood how steeped they were in traditionalism and in all the Mosaic traditions and how they had to keep all of the law and how blinded they really were. But that same desire made him go and preach the gospel throughout the whole known world. At Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus, and he ceased not every single day and every single night pleading with people to come to know Christ. Do we have that desire? I really think that our churches lack a desire to see souls saved. Christians today lack a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ, to see them come to the knowledge of the truth. When was the last time you presented the gospel to someone? When was the last time you handed out a tract with a desire for them to read it and to come into the knowledge of the truth? When was the last time you had that burning desire that Paul had? But Paul didn't stop in Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Bible says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is upon me, if I preach not the gospel." Paul says, hey, if I don't preach the gospel, woe unto me. And each and every Christian ought to look at his life and say, hey, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't tell someone about Jesus Christ. But none of us, myself included, for many years, there was a time in my life where I couldn't look at my life and say, oh, I have a desire to preach the gospel. But God allowed me and brought me through that time and has given me a burning desire to see souls saved. Not just in Cameroon, but around the world. There's many, many millions of people in many other countries around the world that are still lost. Why? Because they've never heard. They've never heard. No one's told them. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul also says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." You know, I don't go to the mission field to earn my salvation. I was talking to a man the other day that said, oh, well, that's why you're out here, right? I was out knocking on doors with another church. We were part of their conference. I was out knocking on doors, and I talked to a man, and he said, well, that's why you're out here doing this, right? I said, absolutely not. I do this because I love my Savior, and I want everybody to know that the truth comes from Him. And that salvation is in Him alone, not in works that we do. I want everybody to know that. But I don't do this to earn my salvation. All of the works that we can do the Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags, dirty band-aids in God's eyes. Dirty, stinking band-aids. That's what our righteousness is. That's our good stuff, what we think is good. Is that stinking in God's eyes? Why? If we don't have Christ in our own life and we're not doing it out of a love for Him, it means absolutely nothing. And our rewards will be burned as the wood, hay, and stubble is that Matthew talks about in his gospel. Do you have a desire? Paul also had that same desire in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 and 9, the Bible says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul said again, night and day he preached unto the people in Thessalonica, so that none of them could say, well, I never heard that before. Well, I didn't know that Jesus was the way of salvation, because I never heard it. No, no one could say that. Paul says, we preach night and day unto you so that we wouldn't be chargeable to you, so that you can't accuse us of never telling you. I fear that when we arrive, or when we're up in heaven, there is going to be people that are going to be cast into hell, and they're going to say, they were your next door neighbor, and they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? They're going to be like the rich man who called out in hell and said, hey, someone go tell my neighbor, someone go tell my family about Jesus Christ, because they don't know. He cried out because he wanted someone to tell them, and they want someone to tell them about Jesus Christ. You need to be seeking lost souls right here in your own community, right here in the city of Glendale or Peoria, wherever you live, right here in this area. We all need to have a desire to see souls saved. But you know what? Paul is not the only one that had a desire to see souls saved. Noah preached for 120 years as the preacher of righteousness to people who were condemned to death. And he preached 120 years and only his family was saved. You can't say that Noah didn't have a desire to see people saved. I think if I never saw a convert after several years, I don't know, I might give up. But God gave Noah the grace to continue on and follow his will and do what he wanted him to do. But Noah had that desire to see souls saved. Jeremiah also had that burning desire to see souls saved. In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, the Bible says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He says, listen, I tried to keep my mouth shut. I tried not to tell people about Jesus, about the coming judgment. I tried not to proclaim the words of the Lord. But it was as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I could not forbear. I must tell someone what Jesus Christ said. Jesus also had the same desire, John 9, 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So little time we have to preach the gospel. So little time we have to tell others about what Jesus did for us. If he set you free, if he redeemed you, as you saw on the screen, those dates and those times when you received Jesus Christ, if you see those and you don't have a burning desire to see other people have that time in their life, remember back to the time when you had received Jesus Christ. Remember what he freed you from. He freed us from sin, from the penalty of our sin. And we ought to rejoice in that and tell others about it. But it's not just limited to the Word of God either. Robert Moffat, that famous missionary, wrote in his journal, I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages. Villages whose people are without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. 1,000 villages. He looked out and he could see the smoke of those villages, knowing that those people had never heard about Jesus Christ. And it broke his heart. He determined, and he did. He reached many of those villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had a desire to see souls saved. Because he had a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ. Missionary Nathan Owens came to our church. I was the youth pastor, song leader, choir director, you name it. I did it, okay? And I'm not trying to be proud or boastful in that. I was nothing except for what God wanted me to do there. And I was just serving him. I enjoyed it. And I really thought that that was going to be what I did for the rest of my life. I really thought I was just going to stay there. But missionary Nathan Owen's video struck my heart because here are all these people desiring to see Christ showed to them. And yet, at that time, there was only 13 Baptist missionaries in the country. Now there's only 11 because two are leaving the field this year. Why? Why is no one going? Why is it that they have such a desire to see God do a work and see people saved, but no one's willing to go and tell? No one's willing to go and give up the comforts of America to preach the gospel in a land that is very strange? They have strange traditions, yes, but they need the gospel just like you did. They have a soul just like you have a soul. They're no different. They need Jesus Christ. And when Jesus gets a hold of their life, he changes them in ways that you can't even imagine. You can't even explain. It's just like with you. When your chains fell off, when you got redeemed by the blood, as we sang earlier, it's so amazing to see what God does. God gave me that same burning desire for the people of Cameroon. I tried to get it out of my mind. I tried to pray about other fields. I tried to ask God, Lord, is it just souls here? You want me to win souls here? I'll do it. That wasn't it. He wouldn't let go. Wouldn't let me go from Cameroon. When we got ready to fly back here from our first survey trip that my wife and I both took back in 2011, I asked her, I said, so what did you think? And she said, it felt like home. Why? Because God placed our hearts in Cameroon. Our burden, our desires to get there and be able to lead those people to the gospel, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But not only is it that we need a burning desire, we must understand that there's a problem that we face. The problem that we face is not with the gospel. Because the gospel is very clear. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for anyone, for everyone. Doesn't matter what nation, tribe, language, whatever. It doesn't matter any of that. It's free for all. It's very clear. That's not the problem. The problem is that they haven't heard. They haven't heard the gospel. They've heard about Jesus Christ. They've heard that he came and died on the cross and he paid the penalty for sin. But then they're told that baptism or church membership or paying their tithes or doing all these other works will get them to heaven. That's not what saves a soul from hell. It's the simple faith in believing in Jesus Christ and his finished work that takes a soul and places it in eternity. Gives you eternal life. It's nothing else. And when you explain that to them, it's like a light goes on. They're so excited. What? You mean I don't have to do all these works? You know what happens when they receive Christ? They find that they do all those works. Why? Because they're so thankful of their salvation. Because they love their Savior. It's not because they have to anymore. It's because they want to. God gives them that desire to go out and work and to do the things that as Christians we know we ought to do. We ought to read our Bibles. We ought to pray. Many of them have never actually held their own copy of the Word of God. Bibles cost over $40 for a little paperback $1 Bible you can buy here in the States. Cost over $40 to buy one of those in Cameroon. So because of that, most of them don't even own a copy of the Bible. They go to church and they hear what's taught and they trust it because the preacher has a Bible, but no one else does, so they can't research it themselves. The Lord has allowed us to be able to get 56 Bibles a month through Beams Ministries. They'll send us 7 cases of Bibles every month that we can distribute. And we'll be able to distribute those, and the believers Those who come to know Christ and get baptized and join our discipleship program, those are the ones that receive a Bible. And they'll be able to learn and study, and they'll be able to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we have a desire to see souls saved? But the problem we face is that they've never heard. But a lot of times it's because the message never comes out of our mouth. What about your neighbors? Your neighbors probably see you go to church on Sunday. They probably see that you get up, get dressed, and you leave on Sunday. So, naturally, my neighbors know that I go to church. But have you ever told them the gospel? Have you ever explained to them how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven? If not, why not? Because we hide the message. The Bible says if our message be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Because they've never heard. We could talk about many countries in the world that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ according to what they project on these different places. There's, I think of China, 82.8% have never heard of Jesus Christ. You could go down through the list. There are many countries around the world that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's because no one has gone and told them about Jesus Christ. But we not only do we hide the gospel, but we shun the command of the Savior. His last command should be our very first priority. His last command was to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And yet, we choose not to do it. Oh, Lord, just give me all the other commands and I'll do those. But man, telling someone about Jesus Christ, I just can't do that. Why not? Now, it's not easy, I'll admit it. I get butterflies in my stomach every time I go out door knocking. Why? Because I don't know what to say. I'm a preacher and I don't know what to say. You just speak the words of God. That's it. You use the word of God. That's what convicts man of sin. That's what helps them to see their need of salvation. Don't use your own words. We have nothing to say, but Christ does. Christ has the words of life that'll give them life. And we must tell people about Jesus Christ. Not only with that, there's a shortage of missionaries out there. Since 1960, on the average, America has lost 1,000 missionaries on the field. Now, in 1960, we had over 100,000 missionaries on the foreign field as independent Baptists. But we have lost over 1,000, or at 1,000 on average since then, and only replaced them with 90. That means that there was 910 spots that were not filled since 1960, every year. There's a shortage of missionaries. Why is there only 11 missionaries in Cameroon? Because no one hears God's call. No one hears His still small voice calling to them and saying, go tell them about Jesus Christ. Why don't you go here, and you go here, and you go here? Instead, we enjoy our comforts and we get so busy doing things that we don't listen to the still small voice of God. We shut Him out. No, I can't go there. There's too much disease. Too many snakes and spiders. My wife said that as soon as I told her. I said, I think we need to pray about going to Cameroon. She said, what? We can't go. What about our four little girls? What about all the snakes and the spiders and the disease? And what about our house? We had only lived in our house 8 months. We were first-time homebuyers. Lord, and the Lord blessed us and allowed us to sell it last September, so we don't have a house anymore. It doesn't matter. It's all the Lord's. We actually had to sit down and we had to rededicate our children to the Lord. We had done it when they were little. But you know what? God can take our children with disease and snake bites and spider bites and all the other things here, just like He could over there. They're His. They're in His hands. I'm just a steward. So what keeps me from doing what God wants me to do? Really, I can't let anything. The center of God's will is full of protection, full of provision, and full of everything that I would ever need, full of His power. If I want God's power, I have to be in the center of God's will. If I'm not in the center of God's will, I don't have any power. Our priority should be being missionaries every day. That needs to be our priority. Our priority needs to be on telling others about Jesus Christ. How can they hear? How can we preach unless we're sent? We've got to be sent, and God tells us, commands us to go and preach the gospel. We're commanded to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Everyone can be involved in missions in some way, shape, or form. We can all give something, even if it's just a little bit. You think you're a little bit. Talk about the boy with the lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that fed over 5,000 people. That was 5,000 men. That's not counting women and children that were there. Okay? You think you have a little to give? Let God take it and multiply it and make it into something amazing. Because God can. We can't do it, but God can do that. Everyone can pray for a missionary. There's so many stories I have heard from missionaries that they got letters and said, hey, I was just praying for you at this specific time, and at that specific time, they needed it. But people need to pray for your missionaries. I can't stress that anymore. And if God calls you, you need to go. If God says it's time for you to get out of your comfort zone and to do something for me, don't hesitate. Don't put it off. It's the best thing you could ever do with your life, giving it to Him and letting Him use it. In closing, I want to read you a poem. 10 little missionaries heard God's call divine. Mom steered her child away from it, and now there were 9. 9 little missionaries to reach the world of hate. But Dad wanted an athlete, and now there were 8. 8 little missionaries to point the way to heaven. But surely you didn't mean my son, and now there were 7. 7 little missionaries, but 1 got mixed up in the world, playing around with sin, and now there were 6. 6 little missionaries, 6 future missionaries, but 1 went after financial wealth, and now there are just 5. 5 future missionaries to preach unto the poor, but 1 lost his burden, and now there are 4. 4 bright missionaries to preach of Calvary, but 1 fell into legalism, and now there are 3. Legalism is adding works to salvation. 3 promising missionaries with glorious plans in view, but after Satan's sifting trials, there are just 2. 2 final missionaries when once there were 10, but 1 married an unwilling wife, and now God is left with just 1. 1 last hope missionary who also heard the call, and you can make the difference if he stands or if he falls. Will you step up and do your part to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. May this be your prayer tonight. Bobby Richardson prayed this prayer. He said, "Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen." May that be our prayer tonight. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done, Lord. We thank you for the command to go and preach the gospel. We thank you for the many examples that have gone before us and preach the gospel to different worlds, different lands, far and near, those who have even been willing to go to their neighbors and tell others about Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be willing to be a vessel that can be used to preach the gospel everywhere. Lord, I just pray that as we looked into the scripture tonight, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us to be willing to tell the message instead of hiding it, to tell others of Jesus Christ. But Lord, also, may we pray and give. And Lord, if you call us, may we go and tell others in a foreign land. Lord, I just ask that you would do the work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand as we get ready to have an invitation time. And I would just challenge you that during the invitation, if your heart, if God has worked in your heart in any way, shape, or form, that you come and you make a commitment to Him, whether it's to be a missionary, whether it's to go to a foreign field, whether it's to just preach the gospel to your neighbors, whatever God spoke to your heart about, you need to come as we sing number 177. 178, Footprints of Jesus. On that first verse, sing it out.